We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
My opinion, one of the greatest rock and roll albums ever, U2. This is the title track from that great album, which included songs like Pride and Bad and all that good stuff. As we start this episode, Hump Day Wednesday morning, going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous day in New York City. And actually, the rest of the week is going to be gorgeous. That's the good news. The Mets are in first place. That's great news. The Yankees, they're playing great. That's great news. And with all that said, I'm not in a very good mood today, so.
Not a nice day to...
Not a good day for me.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
Well, I
get assaulted on the way in or something like that?
No, I could be if I take the subway, which is open again, but I still have my version of Brandt, which is Gene, the cab driver. He's my limo driver, Gene.
Brandt used to be Imus's chauffeur.
The great Brandt Eaton, who still Facebooks me
every now and then. Okay, sir. I'll put my hat on, sir. Yes, sir.
I love that guy. Now, why I'm in a bad mood is, you know, I became so complacent when Donald Trump, and now that I've mentioned Donald Trump, I guess I have to mention this. This Thursday, tomorrow, coming up at 5, our friend and colleague Rita Cosby will interview former President Donald Trump live.
Hey,
you can go to WABCRadio.com to submit a question that may get used as part of the interview. Rita Cosby and Donald Trump, only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, coming up live at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
That sounds so good.
Ordinarily, I'd be angry it's not us, but I love Rita, so it's fine. And it's our station, so it's all good. But I became so complacent when Donald Trump was president, when it came to the United States-Israel relationship, when it came to peace in the Middle East, I didn't worry about it. I didn't worry about it. All I saw were, like, deals getting done, you know, the UAE and five Arab countries, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, you became complacent about a lot of things.
That's true. But this specifically because, as I played Unforgettable Fire moments ago, Israel is on fire. And this may turn out to be unforgettable. And now, instead of a president coming to the defense of Israel, it wouldn't even happen. Forget about coming to the defense. If Trump was still president, this wouldn't even happen because Hamas wouldn't have the balls to do it. But much like folks who spit in the face of cops, much like BLM guys that continue to burn down our cities, they feel empowered now. They're emboldened now. Same thing with Hamas, because they know that at the end of the day, this creep, Joe Biden, and his administration is not going to do anything. They're not going to defend Israel. They're not going to do a damn thing. So congratulations. Congratulations to Joe Biden and this new administration for ruining the relationship with Israel in less than 2 months.
Yes, the 70s all over again. Turmoil in the Mideast, inflation, rising crime, gas prices out of control, lines at the gas pumps, all that stuff. Andrew Yang stood up for Israel yesterday. He put out a tweet, and he got savaged. He got disinvited from an event in Astoria, a Ramadan event. Yeah. He was none other than AOC actually called him out in a tweet. She said, this was Ilhan Omar. Israel attacks during Ramadan. Where's the outrage, POTUS? That was from Ilhan Omar. Now, nobody... I understand nobody asked this smart-ass Saki a question about these, you know, these tweets on the part of Tlaib and AOC. This is what the AOC said about Andrew Yang. Utterly shameful for Yang to try to show up at a Ramadan event after sending out a chest-thumping statement of support for a strike killing 9 children, especially after his silence after the Al-Aqsa Mosque was attacked. That's what she said about Andrew Yang. Now, the Al-Aqsa Mosque was not attacked. That's A.
No.
This was it started throwing bottles and rocks at cops because they had to evict some people from some apartments that went through the courts. It was litigated in the courts. And that's what started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And now we're into the stage where Hamas started to fire rockets into Israel. Israel fired back.
Right.
And, yeah, you know why the 9 kids died in the rocket attack from Israel on Hamas? Because they set up shop, the headquarters that sent the rockets in from Gaza to Israel. They set up their military headquarters in an apartment building that was tenanted by a bunch of families and kids.
They do that all the time.
Exactly.
The terrorists make sure that women and children are there just in case there is havoc. They can say, oh, my God, look at these savages. They're killing our women and children. They actually make these people sacrifices.
It's baked into the whole.
That's right.
It's planned. It's planned that way. You hit us, we're going to say we're going to mention dead kids,
yeah,
which is exactly what they did. Trump had it right. Speaking of Trump coming up, a Sleepy Joe is out of gas. Remember he said that?
Yes, he did.
He said that during the transition or maybe early on in the administration. Well, literally and figuratively, that turns out to be true.
Yeah, not just out of gas, but again, this is really bad. And I did see that the Netanyahu and the Israelis have told the United States, stay out of it. Stay out of it. We don't want you to, because Sullivan now, you know, what's his name? Jake Sullivan. He's all concerned and he's making phone calls and they're like, just stay out of it. Do us a favor. If you're not going to come to our defense, we don't need you to be concerned. Okay? Stay out of it.
They actually had one State Department dweeb yesterday said, we're concerned about
Sullivan.
Was it Sullivan?
Yes.
Yeah, we're concerned about, in other words, both sides. He didn't pick a side. We're concerned about Israel's security, and we're also concerned about the safety and security of the Palestinians.
Well, I'm not. I had this conversation when we won
Ned Price is his name.
Yeah. No, I think it was Jake Sullivan, but we won the best morning show.
We have the clip. We'll play it a little bit later. Yeah. We actually have the clip, believe it or not.
Okay, good.
That's how prepared we are.
When we won the best morning show in New York City years ago, I had this conversation with Bill Ritter, who we often bring up, the anchor for Eyewitness News, and he's one of those, he's Jewish, Bill Ritter, from the Midwest, and he's one of those folks that is also sympathetic towards the Palestinians. Me, I don't care. It's enough. We won the war. Israel is ours. And if we have to get rid of them, get rid of them. I don't know what else to say.
You got
to
accept
tired of
the
it.
Status quo.
That's right.
This is the way it is. Israel is here to stay. Get over it.
Good morning to Margot Katz and Matidi. Sent a beautiful good morning message. We appreciate that. John and Margot are reveling in success. Once again, President Trump on their station coming up tomorrow with Rita Cosby. We got a great show planned for you today, folks. You want to keep it right here.
Can you have a better wedding world?
That's what we do on the Bernie and Sid show. We fight with the Israelis, which is going to be a huge theme on today's show. Obviously. And we fight for the Italians, too. We love the Italians. That's quite a story about Tommy and Dino Manzo, by the way, from the Real Housewives of New Jersey. He breaks in with a friend of his and beats up his ex-wife and her husband to be with baseball bats. He got indicted yesterday. We'll get to that later. But there's a big event going on this morning, which I've been invited to, and Bernie has. There's a chance I'm going to go. Arthur Idala, Joe Tacopina, Bo Deedle, Curtis Sliwa, Joe Frada, and thousands of others here in New York will be showing up at 11 a.m. this morning, not long after our show, at Columbus Circle in an effort to have Bill de Blasio, this idiot, reverse the decision that he claims he didn't make. I had nothing to do with this. Nobody told me about it. Sure. Where Columbus Day is no longer being celebrated in our public schools. Instead, it's Indigenous People Day and Italian Heritage. Some not.
Well, they first initially switched it to Indigenous People's Day.
Right.
And then
right.
They caught some heat and they said, let's throw in Italian Heritage Day as well.
Then John Gotti Jr. called them and they said, okay, we'll make it Italian Heritage Day too. But in the end, it's complete nonsense.
It's Columbus Day.
You've heard Chaz Palminteri, Joe Tacopina, others on this show talk about what the world was like back then, you know, on this cancel culture stuff, which we will talk about also ad nauseum today, because that's also a huge story, is just it's getting out of control. And he was not a perfect person. God, who has been in their life? And the idea they're going to get rid of this is crazy. So we're going to show up today and we're going to stand tall with the Italians and make this thing happen. Make sure Columbus Day is back.
Good. Right, listen, show some support. Columbus Day today at 11 o'clock. Come down, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Sydney and I will be there along with Bo Deedle, Chaz Palminteri, and a lot of other people. Hey, we were talking about Andrew Yang. I thought this was funny. The New York Times, you know, the New York Times endorsed Catherine Garcia.
Yeah, what was that about? What
right,
a waste.
So stupid.
A waste.
Idiotic. Who knows why?
I mean, at this point, if you're not endorsing Curtis Sliwa, who's the other guy on that? Fernando Mateo, Eric Adams, or Andrew Yang, it's a waste. Those are the four guys that have a chance to win. That's it.
She was the one in charge of the sanitation department that completely botched the response to the snowstorm that cost you the attendance at Teddy Atlas's dinner out in Staten Island.
Well, there were two things. A, it cost me the attendance there, so you had to receive her award by yourself, and you did an amazing job. And also, because of her ineptitude, our good buddy Esposito took a beating that day. He had nothing to do with
Chief
it.
Chief Esposito, he was the head of OEM. He wasn't even in town. It was a surprise snowstorm. She was in town. She was in charge of sanitation, and she screwed it up, bottom line. But they endorsed her. So anyway, the New York Times, they interviewed all the mayoral candidates. And they actually asked them they asked them what is the median sale price for homes or apartments in Brooklyn, and the answer is $900,000. Believe it or not, that's the answer. So you have a former Obama Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan, this wormy little woke little weasel Sean Donovan, who has about as much chance of being a mayor as I do as becoming the vice president of the National Action Network. Anyway. This guy, a former HUD secretary.
He should know better.
He actually said
$100,000. Yeah.
$100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so tell me what Ray McGuire said.
He also said about $100,000, right?
Right.
Yes.
And what did Eric Adams say?
I don't know what Eric Adams said. I know both Donovan
now
and McGuire.
Now I got you.
Because I know Donovan and McGuire both were way
All
off.
Right, so here we go. Former borough president of Brooklyn, Eric Adams.
Not former. He still is.
Is he still?
Of course.
Okay, so it's $550,000, he said.
He's much closer than
He's
those guys.
He's a lot
guys.
Closer. Catherine Garcia said $800,000.
Oh, she's on
Scott
the money.
Scott Stringer said $1 million. And the racist lady, Maya Wiley,
yeah.
She said $1.8 million.
She's way off, too.
And Andrew Yang nailed it at exactly $900,000.
Well, now, if he's nailing the real estate value and he's a defender of the Jews, then I don't know. Yang may be my guy. I love Curtis. Stop! What? He loves the Jews, Andrew Yang. He's got to be my guy. Curtis loves the Jews,
well,
too.
Well, Eric Adams tweeted out support for Israel.
He bro. Did?
Yeah, he did yesterday. So,
anybody tweet out support for the Palestinians running for mayor?
No, they all stayed quiet.
Oh,
they all stayed quiet.
Right.
Look, supporting Israel in New York City is not necessarily a profile in courage.
Right.
Just in 2021,
right.
With these crazy people on the left, it's become a little bit of an issue, a
sure.
problem.
No, you're right.
But generally speaking, it's not. In
right.
New York City, supporting Israel is politically expedient, believe it or not.
If the mayor of La Crosse, Wisconsin, or Clarksville, Tennessee, was to do the same thing, that would be a profile in courage.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But not New York. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. The phones will be open all day today, too. We'll light on guests. There's so many stories to talk about. We want you guys to get involved. So we're going to keep it moving this morning. Can't you see Tom Hanks's head through the sunroof of the limousine? This song playing. One of the greatest movies, I think, that Hanks ever made. I know he's famous, of course, for Academy Award winners like Forrest Gump and Philadelphia, all those great movies, Apollo 13, Saving Private Ryan. This one was big, and it was actually titled Big. Penny Marshall did this movie. It was brilliant. Brilliant. Tom Hanks, Elizabeth Perkins, John Hurd, and this song was featured in that movie. We have great audio coming up later on today of Candace Owens. We love Candace Owens taking apart John Legend's wife, Christy Teigen, on her Instagram yesterday. So stay tuned for that. So we've covered the Israeli stuff so far. We'll get back to it in a big way today, obviously. We also talked about the mayor race and Andrew Yang. The other big story today on the national front involves Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz, who Republicans want out, unless you're Mitt Romney, of course. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. They didn't really understand exactly why they wanted her out. and whether they can, in fact, get her out. What's that all about, Bernard?
Well, when the fake news is quoting you and putting you on TV
fake news.
Every single day and championing your cause, you're obviously a useful idiot to them, and you should go. You've done something wrong. She keeps attacking President Trump over January 6th. She won't unite with the rest of the Republicans in fighting Joe Biden's America Last agenda. And so she's the number three congresswoman, the number three ranked leader in the House of Representatives among Republicans.
She's number three.
So they have to get her out.
Who are the two ahead of her? I'm just curious.
It's Kevin McCarthy and
he's number one.
Some other guy.
I gotcha. Right. So she's got to go because she continues to blame President Trump and cause further divide inside her own party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So no good. No good. Get her out. And it's going to happen today. They're going to have a vote. And it looks like Elise Stefanik,
who is a much, much better politician and, quite frankly, lady than Liz Cheney.
Listen, Liz Cheney is just it's personal with her. She's a very smart woman. She is a warmonger like her dad was, to use the left's phrase, which was what they called Dick Cheney. The most hated person in politics prior to Donald Trump was her father, Dick Cheney, and by extension, her. They hate her. Her and her dad are one and the same to the left. But she became, as I said, a useful idiot in the past couple of months for the left because of her hatred, her Trump derangement. She was one of these, Lincoln Project type supporters who hate President Trump and will not let go of this January 6th thing, which, by the way, if the FBI stopped obsessing about people who trespassed in the Capitol on January 6th and focused more on cyber terrorism, we wouldn't have these gas shortages. If they were stop obsessing over Rudy Giuliani raiding his apartment
right.
and focused on cyber terrorism, we might not have this pipeline shutdown.
Right, which is a big deal. Frank Morano letting me know that Steve Scalise is number two behind McCarthy, just ahead of Liz Cheney. That pipeline becomes a much bigger deal by Friday. Because the news is, at least yesterday, they expect to reopen that pipeline by Friday. And if they don't, then some of the real experts are saying all hell, including Kudlow, all hell will break loose if, in fact, they don't reopen that on
in
Friday.
In fact, play the clip. Go ahead, play it.
If Colonial can't get back into business by Friday, experts tell me all bloody hell is going to break loose. You're talking about the electric grid. You're talking about no supplies in the gasoline stations. You could also be talking about schools and banks and law firms and office buildings. They basically have until Friday.
So there you have it. You called it. Kudlow said it. And that's what's going to happen. Listen, by the way, keep this in mind. This is what these global warming psychos want. They don't want the use of fossil fuels. They won't want cars, sidelined. This is exactly what they want. That's why there's no sense of urgency, really, on the part of the Biden administration to rectify this. They got to pay this Colonial Pipeline's got to pay a ransom or something. The Biden people, when they were questioned yesterday, well, this is not our problem. This is a private sector thing. Excuse me. You got 1,000 gas stations out of gas in the Southeast right now.
Right.
This is a national security situation. But these people,
what am I doing here?
Yeah, they're just taking it easy on the whole thing because this, like the border, this is what they want.
1-800-848-WABC 1-800-848-9222. That was a great 30 minutes of radio. You're all caught up on the huge stories of the day, but of course now we've got 3 hours to take your phone calls and delve even deeper into these big stories.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show. By the way, we heard everyone at 77 WABC app. Dr. Fauci getting grilled in Congress yesterday by Rand Paul on his culpability in the origins of the coronavirus. This guy belongs in prison. We have that. We have all kinds of things, folks, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Keep it right here. I can't.
John, I see you picking your nose. Stop. Stop. I just saw you, and you threw it. I saw it. You're gross. Any morning is a good morning when you have Roxy music on. That's all I know. 7:08 on your gorgeous, sun-splashed episode day Wednesday morning. A friend returns to WABC to sit in for Charlie Kirk this week. Monica Crowley, who was great last week with John Katzimatidis and us. She's back on the air from noon to 1 this week while Charlie is away. Charlie! Catch the return of Monica Crowley today and all week long, 12 to 1 on ABC. Before we get back to the important stuff, so I get an email from Matt Meany yesterday. Meany's famous, you know, he's our executive producer, board op, and just Galfati. He does everything. And he sends me an email forwarding it to me from somebody named Thais Styles, which is a great name for somebody in television.
Thais
Styles. Like style, you know.
Okay.
So Thais Styles was asking Matt Meany if one of his hosts, Bernie and Sid, would be available tomorrow, this Thursday, at 1:45 to tape for the Wendy Williams show.
How you doing?
Hi, Wendy, sweetheart. The Hot Topics would be the Hot Topics panel. So I get the email through Matt, and I answer myself to Thais. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. And I text Wendy, and Wendy texts me right back, I swear to God, in less than 5 minutes, and goes, "You're going to be great." I'm like, oh, my God. I have Christian Conti, one of our social media guys, make this beautiful banner, which came out great. I don't know if you saw it. Sid Rosenberg appearing on Wendy Williams, a picture of me and Wendy, all this great stuff. And then I get an email about an hour later from Styles. And it says, "I apologize, but my colleague already booked the open seat that I wanted for you. So it looks like it's not going to happen tomorrow," which would have had me on the Wendy Williams show on Friday, "but it'll be next week." And I felt like I felt when I read for the part in the B-movie with Jerry Seinfeld. The difference there was I never got in the movie. I was left on the cutting room floor, and John Leguizamo got my part. I know with Wendy I'll be on next week. But like for at least an hour, next week wasn't good enough. I was like, what? And then tell me the person who you booked on the Wendy Williams show that's more famous, better looking, and more likable than me, that you couldn't cancel them until next week and put me on tomorrow.
I think you got to take it easy.
Yeah, I got to calm down.
Just relax.
I told you, I'm in a fiery mood today. Israel and Wendy Williams, and got a lot going on. Columbus Day. I got to go out there. I got to fight with the Italians.
Well, you got to fight against some of these people out there. You got to fight with them, right?
Right.
No,
I'm on their team.
Yeah,
yes,
right, exactly.
A lot going on.
I hope so.
But I'll be on next week. It'll be fine, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right, thank you.
Wendy Williams, Hot Topics. How you doing?
Yeah, Hot Topics panel. It's
be great. One of the hot topics, of course, is we talked about it earlier, is this gasoline shortage.
And, big deal.
And if it doesn't get fixed, by the way, this is the way it stands right now. They're actually negotiating with these cyber terrorists. They're negotiating with them. They've done this in the past.
But haven't we been taught that you never negotiate with a terrorist?
Yes, we have, but this is different. They've done it in the past with various power groups across the country, power companies, states, municipalities, things like that. And I can't even tell you, people that you and I know in private business have actually paid ransoms to get them to stop the cyber attack so that they can get their IT infrastructure back up and running.
People you and I
know?
Yeah.
As opposed to waiting, as opposed to rebuilding it themselves and saying, screw you. So they're negotiating right now. Lindsey Graham said that by Friday, if we don't have it back up, all hell will break loose. But
well, Larry Kudlow said the same thing.
I mean, I'm sorry, Larry Kudlow said that. But it's no guarantee it's going to be up by Friday. They can't do it physically. They can't do it themselves. They would have to settle with these cyber terrorists
in order
to get it back up. They would actually have to pay the ransom.
Oh, how much is the ransom?
Who knows? They don't know. This is why there's a radio silence on this. But either way, you have.
Can I ask you a question? Because you're smart. If it's not done by Friday, and Larry Kudlow is as good as it gets, and he certainly pressed the alarm yesterday. That was an alarm. He almost yelled fire in a crowded movie theater. In your opinion, if it's not done by Friday, will it be as bad as Kudlow made it out to sound yesterday?
My opinion, I hope not, but I would imagine you have 1,000 gas stations right now in the Southeast closed. Certainly prices are going to continue to rise. It shows the importance of these pipelines, that one of them that Biden closed down, the Keystone Pipeline, on day one.
Terrible.
And Governor Cuomo, let's not forget this. Governor Cuomo will not allow gas pipelines to transport natural gas from Pennsylvania to Long Island to the Northeast to Massachusetts. We actually had to import natural gas from Russia, places around the world, to get it to Long Island, to the Northeast, Believe it or not, because of Governor Cuomo.
That's life.
Why won't you allow the pipelines to be built? Well,
and he also shut down the nuclear plant, the Indian nuclear plant.
Again, that's another. 25% of the power in New York State was provided by the nuclear plant. All these systems we need, we just need them. We don't have this green energy stuff up and running.
How dare you?
If it ever gets up and running and works, it's not going to work. On the gasoline shortages, that people were interviewed about it yesterday. Take a listen to this.
I've been here since 4:30 this morning. It's ridiculous waiting online here. I couldn't get gas Tuesday. The line was about 8 blocks long.
I thought my husband would be able to get gas. He came here at 5:20, and he called me at 6 that I should come out and take over because he's got to go to work.
I'm here since 5 a.m. I spend every day 3 hours on the line. I am always nervous about gas. I can't concentrate on my work.
Oh, my God. Now that's a Jewish guy from... You can just tell.
Now, listen to me. That was from 1979. I swear to God.
Was it really?
I swear to God.
It applied. We talked about this yesterday. Jimmy Carter, it applies today.
Exactly right. From 1979, except today you have both the combination of Biden canceling pipelines and these cyber terrorists, which, by the way, highlights the importance. The CIA is putting out these woke videos of, you know, anxiety, trans cisgender, some lady who said she had anxiety disorder. This is what they're putting out. These are the people in charge of protecting us from these cyber terrorists. They had some gay guy with a nose ring talking about his, you know, homosexuality. Right. All right, God bless you. Shut up. Just protect us from these cyber terrorists. But they don't care. Again, as I said earlier, this is what these global warming psychos want. Listen to the lack of urgency on the part of the energy secretary, this idiot woman who used to be one of the fake news commentators and the governor of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm. Listen to the cavalier attitude she takes on the gas shortage.
We want to encourage people. It's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have this supply crunch and that things will be back to normal soon, and that we're asking people not to hoard and know that we are all over this.
So it's not a shortage, it's a crunch, and they're all over it. She doesn't sound like she's all over it.
No. Now,
they actually have a woman who is the Deputy National Security Advisor for cyber attacks. She works for the DHS. Anyway, her name is Ann Neuberger. This is what she said, talking about the ransom and all that stuff. Listen to her. Listen to this.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation, and they have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to paying a ransom. Colonial is a private company, and we'll defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
It's not our problem.
Wow.
It's not our problem. It's Colonial's problem. Just leave us alone. Joe Biden called a lid at 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday with all this stuff going on.
He's tired.
He's like, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
Take a nap.
At 3:30.
How to get ready for Real Housewives of New York with Ebony Williams. I got to take a nap. He doesn't care about anything,
Joe
Biden.
You know what? Newt Gingrich, he struck the right tone. Listen to Newt Gingrich.
He usually does.
The exact right tone as to how we should treat this, the cyber attack and the people perpetrating it. Listen to Newt.
We ought to pass a law immediately that makes it this kind of hacking subject to a death penalty. And the law should include a provision that the president, through a judicial process, should be able to order the killing of anybody overseas who's doing this. I mean, we have now spent like 15 years on defense. We have no idea who they are. We have no idea where they are. And if we did know who they were, we'd have no mechanism to do anything about it. A great country cannot allow people to come in and savage it, have no consequences, and then wait for the next attack. And yet that literally is where we are right now.
That's what I want to hear from our officials in charge
right now.
And you hear them, it's a private sector problem. Oh, it's not a gas shortage, it's a supply crunch, and Joe Biden takes a nap at 3:30. That's what we have today. We are in big trouble right now. Hopefully we can weather it. And they, I don't know, do you want them to pay the ransom? Should we pay the ransom or say screw you? I say pay the ransom.
I say pay the ransom.
Pay the ransom.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then a hope for 2022 and 2024.
Let's hope. This Thursday at 5, join Rita Cosby for a live special interview with former President Donald Trump. And again, for the 1,000th time, none of this would be going on if Mr. Trump was still in charge. You can go to WABCradio.com to submit a question that may get used as part of the interview. How exciting is that? Rita Cosby and former president, our friend Donald Trump, live tomorrow at 5 on 77 WABC.
And Sid, there is still time to vote for the National Nurses Day finalists. Go to WABCradio.com and vote for who you think should win the trip to Florida. It's our way of thanking nurses who we love. We love the nurses for their hard work, dedication, and sacrifices. At least, we just love the nurses. So go to WABCradio.com and vote.
Happy birthday today. He's not alive to celebrate it, unfortunately, but we love this guy. Would have been 96 today. All-time New York Yankee great, New Jersey native Yogi Berra would have been 96 years old today. So happy birthday, Yogi. Talking about Yogi, we got sports coming up at 35. The Yankees took on the Rays last night. They can't beat Tampa. They just can't beat them. Did they beat them last night? Stick around. We'll tell you.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Then I looked again and I saw you.
All right, Beanie, what famous John Travolta movie was this song featured in? This is Boz Scaggs. Look what you've done to me.
I don't know, the one.
Come on.
I have Saturday Night Fever.
That would be incorrect.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. He played a cowboy. Oh, come on.
Midnight Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy?
Yes. Remember, what was the actress's name? Deborah Winger. She was also an Officer and a Gentleman with Richard Gere. She was his love interest in that movie. Urban Cowboy, that's Boz Scaggs.
Meanie is like 29 years old.
I know, come on. What does that mean?
You're dating yourself.
You know, it's funny you say
that. No. He doesn't watch these, lame 80s movies that you...
Lame?
Yeah.
Urban Cowboy is like a huge hit. Huge.
Well, actually, that's from the 70s, too.
No, that's the 80s, probably.
Is it?
Yeah, because it came after Saturday Night Fever in Greece. But I remember, it's funny you say that, because when people would call Mike and the Mad Dog, and they would ask him questions about sports, and they'd go, well, that's before my time. Even I used to get crazy about that.
No, I understand. I understand.
But you got to know these things.
I mean, when you're talking about classic movies,
John Travolta's classic.
But what was the movie you just talked
about? Urban Cowboy.
That's not a classic
movie. Of course it is.
Come on.
I know John. The only movie I know John Travolta from is Saturday Night Fever.
You never saw Grease?
Oh, well, Grease too. Okay, Grease goes to it, but in my mind,
yeah,
they're like the same thing. You know, it's Travolta.
I don't even know what to
singing,
say.
Dancing, God. Lots of music. You know.
Well, there is that comparison. Yes. 9:40. Beat Bernie is coming up. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. At stake today, a $100 gift card. And also a Barry House, which is the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning. A Barry House coffee mug. Make sure you tune in and even try to play. Pete Bernie coming up at 9:40 today.
Did you see this? These tapes of the people coming across the border recently?
Yeah, of course.
They're coming across. The disaster is as big as ever, but the media is not focusing on it, of course. We're just accepting that it's happening. But one of the observations that I made, first of all, they're coming in from not only the middle Central American countries. They're coming in from all over the world. Yemen, Haiti, Africa, Venezuela. They're coming in from everywhere. But I see these people coming across. They look they're supposed to be impoverished, poor people who just trekked 300 miles across the desert.
They don't look that way to me.
They look extremely well-fed to me.
That's what I thought.
I mean, it looks that's just me. You know, it's a bottle.
Well, I agree with you. I thought the same thing.
It's like a bus pulled up and just dropped them right off and let them out. So anyway, play this Kamala Harris clip. She's talking about the root cause of this border crisis.
I am responsible for and have been taking on the responsibility of dealing with the root causes of migration. And here's how I think about it. Listen, when you look at the Northern Triangle, which is the area of focus, the geographic area of focus, you have to ask and realize that I think most people don't want to leave home.
They don't want to leave home. That's the person in charge of solving the border crisis.
They did drop off, what, 5 infants? Was that yesterday? They dropped off 5 infants at the border.
Yeah, there was a farmer who discovered these 5 infants in the middle of the desert, just dehydrated, near death. But so it is a humanitarian problem.
Huge.
But it's also a national security crisis.
Of course.
But in the meantime, though, the all these jobs that these people on unemployment, the enhanced unemployment, they won't go back to work. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people coming in to replace you. You better take that job right now.
No, that's true. That is true. You know, the Kamala Harris, he put her in charge of this. It's got to be about 2 months now, right?
Yeah, she's done nothing.
What has she done?
She's a complete, total lightweight.
She's a
classless idiot is what she is.
I saw yesterday on this MSNBC, which is garbage. I understand it's garbage. His approval rating right now on the AP poll, which also is nonsense, but it is out there, 63% Joe Biden. And I say to myself, the border's a mess. The economy is starting to tank. The job numbers for April were not bad. They were pathetic. The Middle East is once again on fire. We've ruined this unbelievable relationship that Donald Trump put together with Israel and all of the Middle East over 4 years in less than 4 months. So somebody has to explain to me out there. Maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe I'm just stupid. What in God's name do you approve of? What? There's no more Donald Trump tweets? Well, yeah. What is Joe Biden doing well?
Speaking of Donald Trump tweets, Don Trump Jr. tweeted, "Build back better, my ass." I mean, it's been a disaster. Biden's first 100 days, the worst in history, if you ask me.
I agree.
I mean, you throw all that stuff that you mentioned and, high crime, all of this stuff, racial tensions, which, by the way, predated his administration. But it started under the Obama administration.
That's correct.
Again, the 1970s on steroids right now.
I didn't want it to be that way. I really did give Biden a chance, and it's not over yet. I said all those things while a lot of my friends, including you, were still angry about what happened during the election. I moved on quickly. I said, okay, he won. Give this guy a chance. You warned me, Bernie, day after day after day after day. And for what it's worth, so far, you were 100%.
I tell you, I got to hand it to
President Trump. Thank you, President Trump.
All right, we got lots more to do this hour, and including sports, right?
We got sports with you coming up, so get ready. Joe Nolan with traffic, but right now it is the 77 WABC radio clip of the day. Rita Cosby on weeknights at 10. She talks with Rudy Giuliani about the mayor's responsibilities in New York City.
And everybody, we're talking to former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. You know, it's amazing that his reaction today, and I'm sure you heard it, Mr. Mayor, was we need help from Washington with guns, said.
Right. I took over New York City, and we had 1,900 murders the year before I took over New York City, 2,400 the year before that. Three riots, massive crimes. I didn't ask Bill Clinton to come and fix my crime problem. The crime problem is the mayor's problem, not the president's problem, not the governor's problem. If you can't fix crime, then quit and let somebody else be mayor, because people die when you're incompetent.
Man, we miss you, Rudy Giuliani, and we love you, Rudy G, on 3 o'clock on 77 WABC. Rita Cosby, of course, at 10. Under the
Milky Way tonight. So our old friend Jerry Barmash. Jerry used to fill in for Deb Valentine once in a while and do the news. He reported here at the station. I'm not sure if he's here or not anymore, but he was good. So now he works for my friend Jason Barrett, Barrett Media. Barrett Media Group is actually very big in our industry. And they do stories on hosts and radio guys all the time. And they did an in-depth piece on me this week. Jerry Barmash did the interview. It was on Barrett Sports Media yesterday. So I get a text from Dave Labrosi. I said in the piece, they asked me about Labrosi versus Craig Schwab. And I said, well, my current program director, our current program director, Dave Labrosi, a little more old school, at least be able to kind of push Craig Schwab around. And if I wanted to get something done, or Bernard for that matter, it was easier. Labrosi's old school and kind of sticks to what he believes, and it's made to be a great relationship. We get along great with Dave now, Bernie and I, but certainly early on, Dave and I clashed heads a lot. So it's like a three-page, I know you read it, what's your name, John. It was good, right? It was a good story.
It was very good. It was very entertaining.
Very. But I get an email from Labrosi yesterday, and he cut and pasted the one part where I compared him to Craig Schwab. And he's like, clashed heads, old-fashioned. You're making me sound old. But I think that's a pretty good depiction, don't you think? Isn't he more old-school?
Very, very accurate. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Sure, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, right. He's an old-style, old-school.
Yeah. He's great at what he does.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I actually told him, I said, we've gotten better since you've been here. I did tell that to Jerry, but they elected to keep that part out of the piece. Sorry. But Labrosi's doing a great job, and Chad, and John, and everybody.
And they're nice people, too. Yeah, we're very lucky, very blessed to be working for these people. John Catsimatidis is all the way on down. And things are looking up. I mean, I know people are getting shot and stabbed in the subways and shot on the streets, pushed in front of subways and all that stuff. But aside from that, things are looking pretty good in the city. I think pretty much the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
The whole mask thing. It came out yesterday that the CDC, they were totally wrong on masks. They had said in the past that masks were that the transmission outdoors was about 10% or something like that. It's way less than 1%.
Way less. It's like 0.01%.
It's a total waste of time. People went inside because they were afraid of catching it outdoors. You don't need a mask outside, but they went inside and they caught the virus
inside
because of what the CDC told them. And these people have been wrong about every damn thing.
Well, I still get frustrated. I still see people in this office because we sit on the second floor overlooking Third Avenue. So I see when people come to work and they're walking across the street with a mask on. Take your mask off. I'm not going to name names, but you work in this building, you're walking outside, it's 70 degrees and sunny, that vitamin D is going to smack you right across the face. Take your stupid mask off.
So, and the people in charge, though, this is the problem. Yeah, the CDC lady, Walensky, of course, you have Fauci, we'll get to him in a second. He's just a complete and total incompetent and maybe worse. But so Walensky said in mid-March. Now, here it is 2 months away from March, right? And the pandemic is basically over. This is what she said in March. Listen to Walensky.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script. And I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
That was in mid-March. What was this lady reading? What was she thinking about?
I don't know.
And then this other idiot who's a COVID advisor to a Biden, his name is Dr. Michael Osterholm. He said this in January.
I still think we're in the bottom of the third or the top of the fourth. You know, I worry that the next 6 to 14 weeks could be the darkest weeks of the pandemic.
Yeah, the darkest weeks of the pandemic. Well, none of that came to fruition. What does that make us? Geniuses? You know, Nostradamuses?
I guess, because we were saying it from day one.
We saw it.
Day one.
Once the vaccines were available, we saw it coming. Everybody saw it coming. Dr. Nicole Sapphire said by spring, everything will be great. She was right.
Yes.
And she's working for Fox News. These idiots are working for the government.
Yeah.
Speaking of idiots working for the government, this little double-talking skunk, Dr. Fauci, who has his hands all over this, the origins of the coronavirus. We talked about it. I asked on Monday morning, I said, why aren't the people on the Sunday morning shows asking this guy about his role in funding the research at the Wuhan lab where the virus clearly originated from? It did not originate in a wet market, which just, you know, coincidentally, it originated in a wet market. They want you to believe. That just happens to be, coincidentally, a few blocks from the only lab in the world doing this, what they call gain-of-function research. No, it happened a few blocks away, not in the lab, but in a wet market. That's where it originated. I don't think so. It happened in the lab, and we were funding it. The Obama administration put a kibosh on the funding, said it's too dangerous, this research, playing around, tinkering around with viruses from animals to humans. Whatever they were doing there was just very, very dangerous stuff. But Dr. Fauci actually got around it while he was head of the NIH and the NIAID or whatever the hell it's called. He funded it. He continued. He used a loophole to continue funding this research, which probably caused this virus, this global pandemic. Anyway, finally, he was asked about it yesterday by Rand Paul.
Do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect.
Government scientists like yourself who favor gain-of-function research.
I don't favor gain-of-function research in China. You are saying naturally. Things that are not correct.
Now, he said, I did not fund gain-of-function research. In other words, he used a double negative.
Right.
So technically.
He did.
He used a double negative. So he can say if they ever want to, I don't know if he was under oath, but if they ever wanted to say he was, or charge him with perjury, he can technically say, I didn't say what you're saying. I used a double negative. You should have listened
to
me.
Right.
Tom Cotton put it clearly, put some clarity on the weasel's comments yesterday. Listen to Senator Tom Cotton.
The testimony today was deliberately evasive. I think Tony Fauci is playing word games with the American people. It's a matter of public record that the NIH-funded organization that then sent hundreds of thousands of dollars from American taxpayers to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the research that they conducted would be described, I think, by most reasonable scientists as gain-of-function research. And isn't it an amazing coincidence that this once-in-a-century pandemic originated, didn't come from some rural village up in the mountains near bat caves, but it came from a city larger than New York City, which just happened to have these laboratories that Tony Fauci's agency was indirectly funding.
You see, and they want you to think that, yes, it happened a few blocks from the lab, just miraculously, just originated a few blocks away from this, the one lab in the world conducting this research. No, this guy Fauci had his fingerprints all over it. And the lack of curiosity on the Sunday morning shows from Schmuck Todd or Jake Tapper or the
people, Stephanopoulos,
the people hosting F the Nation, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, that was Dickerson Sunday.
Yeah.
He was for Brennan.
Well, anyway, somebody finally asked him. They could have asked him. They could have given him the opportunity to clear himself if they wanted, but they didn't.
Rand Paul. I love Rand Paul. You love Rand Paul?
Yes, I do.
I used to not like him. And my cousin Norm Coleman used to say, no, Sid, he is the smartest guy I know.
He's a doctor, so he has the authority. He knows how to spar with Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy as well. He's a doctor. He's a Republican. He's a libertarian, first and foremost. But he uses his skills as a doctor to go down to Haiti.
I remember.
To treat patients after the earthquake.
Yes, he did.
So he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
I believe he's an eye doctor.
So why were you laughing when his neighbor kicked his ass on his lawn and broke his ribs?
I think you took some glee in that, I was disappointed in your reaction.
Calm down.
Be quite honest with
you. Okay. Bernie's right again. We have some
breaking news. WABC.
All right, according to John Katzimatidis, who Bernie mentioned moments ago, our proud owner and boss, on his show coming up tomorrow at 5 p.m., Rita Cosby will interview President Donald Trump, just called me and said that sources are telling him the bribe for the pipeline was paid, and this will all be over on Monday.
Wow, Monday.
Monday, not Friday. Larry Kudlow said, if it's not done by Friday, it'll be a mess. But that won't be the case because it has been paid. Again, this is not 100%, but it's very close to 100%. This is a very reliable source. It'll be over by Monday.
This is a scoop.
Huge scoop.
This is really breaking news.
Yes.
And none of the networks have broadcast this.
None of them.
We have it right here.
Bernie and Sid from John Katzimatidis, who got it from, again, a very reliable source. Not 100%, but as close as you can get. It has been paid, and this thing should be over by Monday. That's what we do on Bernie and Sid. We tell you what's going on. Thank you, John Katzimatidis. We got a lot more to do.
So they paid the bribe.
They paid it,
Wow. Yeah. In other words, the criminals are getting away with this hacking.
Well, hold on.
But
you and I both said this morning we would pay the ransom too.
Yeah,
so.
I think so. Yeah. I think you have to.
You have to in this case.
But now they're going to do the they could attack the national grid.
Well, they could. But let's hope that this is a warning to these idiots and they actually set up some defenses so this can't happen again.
Well, you heard some of the people in charge, the clips I played. They don't care. They don't. No sense of urgency whatsoever.
True.
None. Newt Gingrich was the only guy.
True.
This is a terrible, awful thing. These people should be executed, essentially, is what he said.
He did say that. Yeah. Bernie had said more on a Wednesday.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Through a very reliable source, through John Katzimatidis. Looks like the ransom for the pipeline has been paid, and this will all be over with by Monday. That is the breaking news that you will only hear right here on Bernie and Sid. You know, I just did a commercial for Parrish and McGarry, and we had Frank Siller on last week. So this year will be 20 years since the most tragic day in our country's history, right here in Lower Manhattan, 9/11. And kind of a goofy note, but it's still worth mentioning. You know, the night before September 11th, you may remember it was the first Monday Night Football game of the year, and the Giants played the Broncos. You were on the street that day, on 96th Street, because it was a primary for the mayor's race.
That's right.
And I was in studio, and when the first plane hit,
we play this every year on 9/11. I was talking about the Giant Bronco game with Imus and Charles McCord. That was the conversation going on when the first plane hit. 20 years later, the NFL has released their schedule for week one this year. In fact, as we're talking about this, Jimmy Johnson is on Fox News with Brian Kilmeade and the whole crew. And yes, that weekend this year is the 9/11 weekend, and the Giants are playing the Broncos. They don't play, they don't usually play the Denver Broncos. They very rarely play the Denver Broncos. 20 years after 9/11, they're playing the same team they played the night before that awful tragedy.
I guess I'm supposed to have goose pimples right now?
You're supposed to, but I know you're still excited that the pipeline thing is over Monday. So,
well, yeah.
That's a big deal.
I'm very happy that I'm not happy that we're paying criminals, but I'm happy that there won't be a shortage here in the Northeast. I would hate to have to take the train to work.
There was no other practical way to get this thing done than pay them. That was it. There's no other practical way.
Well, yeah, right. Another, we would have to wait weeks, maybe months for
them to restructure
their whole IT system.
Right. We don't have that time.
No, we don't.
So
we had to pay. But by the way, it's the company that's paying. It's not the government. It's not our government. It's a private company. And they got no assistance from our government. As you heard from the clips we played earlier, they're like, not our problem. Oh, really?
Seems like it is our problem to me. Joe Biden, what's he doing with this whole Israel-Palestinian mess and all the big news of the day? Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Always hearing your name. And no matter where I'm at, girl, you make me want to say. Whether a bus or a plane, or a car or a train. No other girls on my brain. And you the one to blame.
I'm watching TV coverage on New York One of these protests that are taking place in Lower Manhattan. You know, I was in Lower Manhattan yesterday. I went to the dentist, which I do every couple of months, get my teethuses cleaned, down by Chambers Street and Warren. And it's a mess down there. It's just a complete mess. And now you got all these people out there protesting over what's going on between Israel, which is, of course, a country that we love, most of us here, and Hamas, which is a terrorist group.
Well, you know, they were in front of the Israeli embassy.
Yes.
Not far from here.
Very close to here.
Like
they were protesting there, too.
They were on both sides.
Yeah.
And they actually came to blows.
I
see you and Dove hiking out there one of these days soon.
I'm ready to go today. I am ready to, and I don't want to give up on my Italian friends. Again, it is worth mentioning. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, Columbus Circle, Arthur Idala, Joe Tacopina, Joe Frada, Bo Deedle, thousands of others will be out there in an effort to get Columbus Day back. But to be honest, right now for me, my focus is on Israel. And Hamas is a terrorist group. I understand folks out there that hate Israel. I don't understand it, but I know they exist. And, you know, they're worried about the Palestinians. Said this earlier today. I've had enough.
Well, listen, just to be clear, Hamas is designated a terrorist organization. But it is the duly democratically elected government of Gaza.
I understand
Once that. Once they gave Gaza the ability to vote, for who's going to lead them or govern them,
right,
they voted for Hamas.
A terrorist group.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is funded, by the way, by Iran.
We know that, too. That's right. Very good. Which, of course, as we speak, John Kerry and all these creeps, Joe Biden, the rest of them, trying to figure out a way to get back into that deal with that murderous country who wants to see Israel wiped off the planet as soon as yesterday. So I'm just tired of it. I got to be careful. Because many, many years ago, I said something on Imus during the Arafat funeral that got me suspended and continues to show up on my Wikipedia page. So I have to be careful. But I am not a Palestinian slash Hamas sympathizer. I am all Israel, all in. And I know that right now they're just kind of firing back in defense. But I'd like to see Israel go on the offensive, and just take back what they won a long time ago.
Well, listen, they've done this in the past. They've gone into Gaza, full-throated invasion of Gaza, defensively. It was a defensive move. They've done it before. They'll do it again if they have to. But in this case, they fired into a building that killed 9 children, among other things. This is what you hear on the news. They don't tell you that these the Hamas military operation, the headquarters, were in that building. So they had to strike that building to hit those headquarters. And obviously they planted the headquarters there just so they could use this propaganda. Oh, they killed innocent civilians, including 9 children.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
They do this all the time.
Right, all the time. So they're doing that. And yesterday, Andrew Yang actually came out. And so did Eric Adams.
That's my guy, Andrew Yang.
This is going under the radar. Eric Adams tweeted this out as well. Today on Yom Yerushalayim, Israel came under attack from Hamas-fired rockets in Gaza. This is Eric Adams.
Yeah.
Israelis live under the constant threat of terrorism and war in New York City, and New York City's bond with Israel remains unbreakable. I stand shoulder to shoulder with the people of Israel at this time of crisis.
That's my guy, Eric Adams.
So there you go. You got two. You got a tough choice.
No, but here's the deal. They don't seem to be taking Eric Adams to task as much as Andrew Yang. Now, why is that?
Andrew Yang did it first, I guess, before. And again, I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. It is in New York City. It is not necessarily a profile in courage to come out for the state of Israel as a politician if you want to get elected to office. But in 2021, it hasn't been up to now. In 2021, it's a different time with these radical crazy people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others.
The Tlaib, Omar.
The hashtag was trending on Twitter yesterday. Yang supports genocide. Hashtag Yang supports genocide.
Right.
For supporting Israel.
Right.
So anyway, this is what AOC. Now, this is an elected official here in New York. She's not worried about the Jewish vote.
No.
She put this out. She says, quote, "We stand in solidarity with the Palestinian residents of Sheikh Jarrah in East Jerusalem. Israeli forces are forcing families from their homes during Ramadan and inflicting violence. It is inhumane, and the U.S. must show leadership in safeguarding the human rights of Palestinians." So that's AOC, a New York City elected official.
Yeah, she's always been that way, though. She's been anti-Semitic from the day she was elected, and all of her friends, Omar and Tlaib, and she's right.
Yeah, she's Omar and Tlaib. They were flat out calling Israel terrorists.
Yeah, she's right. U.S. officials do need to step up, and they need to step up and defend Israel. I mean, Donald Trump came out yesterday. He blasted Joe Biden for being weak. Trump will join us, not us, but Rita Cosby, on our station, 5 o'clock live tomorrow afternoon on John Catsimatidis' show, so make sure you tune into that.
That sounds so good.
Yes, Trump and Rita Cosby. He blasted Biden for being weak, and I'll say it again, which we said this morning. If Donald Trump was still the president of the United States, I can promise you this would not be going on. But whether it's BLM or it's folks on the street when it comes to police or even Hamas, these people feel emboldened now. They're not worried because there are no repercussions. They would not be doing this if Donald Trump was president. I promise you that.
Now, President Trump was suspended. He's banned from Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, for telling people to go peacefully protest at the Capitol. Yesterday, the Ayatollah of Iran, the Ayatollah Khamenei, he tweeted this out before Tel Aviv was bombed, before. He tweeted, "We need to confront the enemy. One can only talk with the language of power with these criminals," talking about Israel. And then the bombing started. So he essentially encouraged the bombing before it happened. Other people have come out in support of the Gaza people firing rockets into Israel. He said that before, and he's still on Twitter.
Unbelievable. Hey, the other big story is Liz Cheney. In fact, all three networks right now, Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN, are carrying Liz Cheney. "Our freedom only survives if we protect it. I will not sit back and watch in silence. I will not allow Donald Trump's lies to continue to hurt this party and this country." Liz Cheney, what happens there, Bernie?
Another Trump-deranged useful idiot for the left, this Liz Cheney. Of course, as I mentioned weeks ago, this is personal between her and Donald Trump. Trump came out about the Iraq war, and he essentially said that they made horrible decisions. They cost thousands of lives, 5,000 of our troops, our blood and treasure, and all the money we wasted in the Middle East because of Dick Cheney and George Bush. And Liz Cheney supported all that stuff. And she took it personal. And that's why she hates Donald Trump. She's one of these never-Trumper Republicans. And again, when you have CNN and all these fake news people putting her on and quoting her, the most hated man in politics before Donald Trump was Dick Cheney, was her father, and her by extension. But now she's their hero. So she's the number three person in Congress behind Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, then her. The number three person. And what does she do? She attacks the leader of the Republican Party, the man who revived, the man who saved America. She's attacking him day in and day out for telling people to go peacefully protest at the Capitol. And she's attacking, she's using that, obviously, to distort and twist it. And so they're saying, we can't have you. We need unity in the Republican Party. So they're going to kick her ass out today in favor of Elise Stefanik.
Two of the major stories, you mentioned Eric Adams and Andrew Yang. The New York Times wasted their time by endorsing Catherine Garcia, who has about as much a chance to win this mayoral election as the Detroit Tigers do winning the World Series. So that's a waste of time. They may as well gone with Maya Wiley for that matter. And according to John Catsimatidis, he heard from a very reliable source. It's not John. He got it from a very reliable source. It's almost 100%, but not 100%. So I wouldn't report it that way just yet, that the ransom has been paid and this Colonial Pipeline will be restored and up and running again by Monday. That is the big stories here on Bernie and Sid. A huge day on this Wednesday. Huge.
That is horrible news for the Green New Deal people because they don't want gas stations.
Well,
open.
That's AOC.
Close them down.
That's hard.
They're loving this stuff.
Yeah.
The rising gas prices. And,
I'm the boss.
The shortages. That's exactly what they want. Just as with the border. Same thing. They want what's happening at the border to happen.
1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We'll come back with Lydia Serrani and Lydia reports on this busy Wednesday, episode day, hump day, on Bernie and Sid. Teacher.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation. That's what the world is today.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Well, the double standard on Twitter continues to run rampant. There's a Pakistani actress. She has over a million followers. Her name is Veena Malik. She tweeted out regarding the Mideast conflict that has been spiraling out of control the past few days. We also saw protests here in New York City where a Jewish man was bloodied. They were in front of the Israeli consulate. This is what she tweeted out. I would have killed all the Jews of the world, but I kept some to show the world why I killed them / Hitler. She ended up deleting the tweet about 10 hours later, but her account is still active. Then the Ayatollah Khomeini, he also tweeted out, Palestinians are awake and determined. They must continue this path. One can only talk with the language of power with these criminals. Then in front of the State Department yesterday, Representative Andre Carson of Indiana, he's an African-American man, and our favorite Congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Take a listen to hear what she said, once again, claiming that what is happening to Palestinians is similar to what is happening to African-Americans here at the hands of police. Listen.
Our freedom is interconnected with Black, Brown, Indigenous. It is connected. What they are doing to the Palestinian people is what they continue to do to our Black brothers and sisters here, to the immigrant community here, and enough. So I want you to know this. If you are marching for freedom of Palestine, please know that you must be marching for everybody's freedom. It is all interconnected. And so this is how you grow this movement. This is how you spread the truth.
Wow. Hey, in a way, she speaks the truth. Black Lives Matter is down with the total anti-Israel BDS movement. They're trying to make them the same. Well, you know, same movement, the same kind of, white versus brown, that type of thing. Everything is seen through the prism of race and color with these people. It doesn't matter that Israel was founded as a refuge, again, as I mentioned yesterday, for Jews who were massacred during World War II and oppressed for centuries before that. It doesn't matter.
No.
Scrap that bit of history.
Right, they don't care.
No, they don't care. So my question is this. Jen Psaki yesterday had a press conference. Joe Biden didn't answer any questions. He called it a day at 3:30.
That's not like him.
How come none of the press corps asked Jen Psaki about what Tlaib was saying, about what Omar was saying, about what AOC was saying? Does Joe Biden stand with AOC, Tlaib, Omar, or does he stand with the state of Israel? Nobody asked her that question. Why? Because it might be proved to be a little bit awkward for their girl?
There's only one person that would ask those questions, and his name is Peter Doocy.
That's right.
And Peter Doocy has become to them, even though he's a classy, smart, he handles himself very, very well, but they look at Peter Doocy, Bernard McGuirk, like you and I looked at Jim Acosta. Acosta was an overbearing, immature, out-of-control maniac. Peter Doocy is the antithesis of that, but that's how they look at him.
And he's respectful. He's not a jerk about Correct. The way he asks the questions. But still, he just will ask a tough question. But nobody...
He's the only one.
None of the press corps asked her that question yesterday, and she had a press conference. I mean, that would be the perfect question to ask. Yeah. This woman, put her on the spot, see how she handles herself, or what their position is. I don't even know what their position is.
Missionary. You know, what would impress me, Lydia, if you really want to impress me, forget about mentioning this lady's tweet, because she did, in fact, quote Adolf Hitler. You said she's a very famous Palestinian actress. Is that true?
Pakistani.
Right. Can you tell me three movies she's been in?
She's famous over there, not here.
She's over there now.
She's over there. You know, Rashida Tlaib also put out a tweet saying that Palestine needs to be decolonized.
There's no such thing as Palestine.
I know. It's ridiculous. And I don't understand the double standard here. The double standard. Our press corps is completely feckless. I was watching also the Governor Cuomo press conference yesterday, and not a single question from the press about the nursing home crisis, about the women he sexually harassed, about him stepping down, about the fact that he's bragging about the Javits Center being expanded and him changing it from a hospital, which was never used. It was never used. Not a single COVID patient went to the Javits Center. And nobody questioned him on any of this. Or his $4 million book deal about the story that he politicized the COVID vaccines. And like you mentioned about Peter Doocy, I can promise you, if I was still among the press corps, I would have definitely asked Jen Psaki about Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar saying that Israeli airstrikes are an act of terrorism. And also the violence that was going on in New York City. I mean, I was stuck in traffic for a while. I also spoke to Congressman Peter King after our show yesterday. He was stuck in traffic for a while. It was mayhem all throughout New York City because of these protests. And I fear that the violence that is happening now in the Mideast, because now everything is unstable, it's going to happen here in the United States.
Yeah, it's happening already. Right. The Israeli embassy is like, 10 blocks from us like that?
Yes.
I parked my car right around the block. So I walked right through it.
And so you had pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli people clashing. Again, it's the 70s all over again. It's everything. Gas.
Everything.
Gas shortages, inflation.
Racial tension.
Mideast turmoil.
Subway crime. Yeah. New York City crime. Dirt, filth. And just this feeling. And talking about Congressman Peter King, he's going to call us now. He wants to talk about this this Israel conflict. He loves me and Bernie. So thank you for bringing him up, Lydia. He's listening. But all those things that happened in the 70s, all of them are happening now. My question to you is, because you're older than I am, 77, I was only 10. I don't remember exactly everything. It's very similar to 1977. Would you say it's worse?
I would say it's as bad.
As bad, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
which is bad enough.
I was part of the problem back in 77. Well, I was a hooligan.
Right. Yes, you were. Yes.
But, my perspective on 77 isn't isn't one from a sober perspective.
That
but
is funny.
It was bad back then, and now the scary thing is that all these people, I mean, they're all in power from the local governments to the highest echelons, to the federal government.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, where was Schmuck Schumer yesterday?
I was asking the same thing.
Did he come out and say anything? No, he's got a big mouth. He runs to the podium.
And he's Jewish.
And every other stupid thing. That's why I'm saying that.
Right.
But he's a spineless weasel. He's afraid of these people. These AOC types and the Tlaib types. And yeah, he's Jewish. You would think him and Nadler would say something.
Right, but for years you and I have been saying, where's Chuck Schumer? Where's Nadler? For a while it was, where's Elliot Engel? Hey, Bernie Sanders is Jewish, but we know where he stands.
Well, we know
he
that,
sympathizes
right.
with the Palestinians.
Yes, Schumer is just
Chuck Schumer is the highest ranking Jewish official in the United States, and he's staying silent on this issue.
Bingo.
And I want to leave you guys with this question. The Biden administration restored $235 million in U.S. aid to the Palestinians. I wonder where the Palestinians got all of that money. to unload those rockets and everything else they did to Israel.
We know Biden gave them the money. We know Biden gave them the money. So
unbelievable.
Just like the guy he used to work for, Obama gave them a pallet of cash in the middle of the night the last week he was in office.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
so if anybody wonders where the Biden administration stands on this issue, remember, under Trump, he cut aid to the Palestinians because we know what they represent. But yet under Biden, he restored $235 million of aid to them. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, now they're unleashing attacks on Israel.
Great job, Lydia. Thank you so much. Thank you. Lydia Katcher every weekday at 4 o'clock, sitting alongside the great John Katzimatidis, coming up at 5. Follow her on Instagram, at LydiaNews1, and on Twitter, at LydiaNews.
Joe Nolan with traffic. Sid with sports coming up next. But right now, it is the 77 WABC radio clip of the day. Rita Cosby on weeknights at 10. She talks with Rudy Giuliani about the mayor's responsibilities in New York City.
And everybody, we're talking to former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. You know, it's amazing that his reaction today, and I'm sure you heard it, Mr. Mayor, was we need help from Washington with guns, like you said.
Right. I took over New York City, and we had 1,900 murders the year before I took over New York City, 2,400 the year before that. Three riots, massive crimes. I didn't ask Bill Clinton to come and fix my crime problem. The crime problem is the mayor's problem, not the president's problem, not the governor's problem. If you can't fix crime, then quit and let somebody else be mayor, because people die when you're incompetent.
Bingo, Rudy Giuliani is back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Ladies and gentlemen, just ahead of Peter King, Dominic Carter is back on 77 WABC. Every night at midnight, Dominic is here to talk to you. Plus, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter keeps track of what's going on inside City Hall. Compelling conversation and guests. Dominic Carter from midnight to 1 weeknights on 77 WABC. And there's also time to still vote for the National Nurses Day finalists. Go to WABCRadio.com. and vote for who you think should win the trip to Florida. It's our way of thanking nurses for their hard work, dedication, and sacrifices.
Love Dominic Carter. He got me on Wendy Williams, which was supposed to be this Friday. It'll be next Friday instead, but I'll be on Wendy Williams coming up, which is a huge deal for me. I mentioned earlier quickly that the Giants played the Broncos Monday night, September 10th, the day before September 11th. 20 years later, the weekend, the first season of the NFL, the first weekend, I should say, is 9/11. And the Giants are playing the Broncos again. But O'Halloran tells me that the Jets are going to be in Carolina. So the Jets are going to face Sam Darnold in week one. Crazy week one coming your way in the NFL. Now,
Matt Harvey's pitching against the
Mets. That's a huge story.
It's a big deal.
Matt Harvey and the Baltimore Orioles, thank you, Bernard, for that. Pitching in Queens at 12:10 this afternoon gives me another chance to post a picture of my late father, Harvey, wearing his Happy Harvey Day shirt.
That's exactly right.
But today we're rooting against Matt Harvey. Or are we?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, I like the people on the Mets. I like the team. I like the team, the players. Good guys.
Peter King loves the Mets. Spent the better part of four decades as the best politician ever in the history of New York. Homeland Security, got these folks all that money after 9/11. Just a great man, and still a very big part of our family here at WABC. And he joins us right now this morning. Congressman King, how are you, pal?
Sid, I'm doing great. And Bernie, how are you? You know, one thing if I could add on that Giant Denver game in 2001, the Giants color announcer was Dick Lynch.
Yes.
A giant play, and his son was killed on 9/11.
Yes, that's true. And you know what? And Dick Lynch, who was a great guy, I got to know Dick very well because I was doing the pregame show for WFAN for the Giants back then. You know, Peter, he fell apart after that. That was it. That's what I heard.
Yeah. I met him once or twice after that, and he certainly seemed like a different person.
Yes, he was, and he's gone too. So God rest his soul. Let's talk about this conflict going on right now in Israel, Peter. You dealt with these foreign affairs quite a bit, Homeland Security, all your positions with government. It looks as though the Israelis are just defending themselves, but once again coming under fire from some of the anti-Semites that still work for this administration, this Biden administration. What are your thoughts on what's going on in Israel today?
Yeah, listen, I don't want to be taking a cheap shot at the Biden administration, but the fact is none of this happened under the Trump administration. The last time there was trouble in the Middle East, real trouble, was back in 2014. Actually, I was over there at the time with David Patterson and the New York Board of Rabbis on the day that finally ended. But under the Trump administration, Trump made it clear Iran was the enemy. He was standing with Israel. And we They've made achievements in the Middle East that hadn't been done for 50 years. The Abraham Accords, Egypt and Jordan becoming stronger and stronger allies of Israel and the United States, Saudi Arabia being a backdoor ally at the time. Iran was isolated. Hamas, and Iran is the one who finances Hamas, they were isolated. The only time there was any attacks at all, and they lasted about a day, was when President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and it was supposed, the whole Middle East was supposed to go up in flames. There was like one day of demonstrations, and that ended it. I see what you see here now is the Biden administration is almost showing it's desperate to enter a nuclear deal with Iran. That's interpreted as weakness in the Middle East, not as diplomacy, but as weakness. So now you have other countries going to start shying away from us. It emboldens Hamas. Iran, Hamas would not be making these attacks, I don't believe. I'm almost 100% certain, without the okay from Iran. So we have all of this coming undone in the Middle East. And again, there's a reason why it never happened under President Trump, because he was making it clear the U.S. was with Israel. There was no nonsense. We were going to back out of it, not back out, withdraw from the deal with Iran. And we would do whatever we had to do to secure Israel and also to secure our own position in the Middle East, because Israel is our closest ally. And you had all these Arab countries coming to the White House to sign agreements with Netanyahu, who is considered the most evil man, supposedly, by the Palestinians and by Hamas and by Iran. So he brought this together. And also with Netanyahu, I like Netanyahu, but even if I didn't, he's the leader of our closest ally in the Middle East. Basically, the Biden is cold-shouldered Netanyahu. So that's another sign of uncertainty that Hamas and Iran are taking advantage of.
You're right about that, Congressman Peter King. And the guy brokering the, whatever negotiations are going on right now is this guy, Secretary of State Blinken, who, as Sebastian Gorka characterized it, got bitch-slapped by the Chinese in Alaska on our own soil. Weakness leads to aggression. You just mentioned that. Weakness leads to war, Congressman King. I mean, you have this turmoil in the Mideast, direct result of weakness, as you point out. You have the cyber attack on the pipeline, which is basically a Russian attack on us. And you have China making noises about invading, retaking Taiwan. I mean, Taiwan. Where does it end?
Yeah, this is all tests of the Biden administration. And they are showing weakness. In China, they're showing some strength, but certainly in the Middle East, and the whole world looks toward the Middle East. We are showing we're vacillating in the Middle East. We're not standing firmly with Israel. Even, these statements they put out, there's almost like a moral equivalency between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Here you have a sovereign state of Israel, which is abiding by all its agreements. It's being missiles being shot into Israel by the terrorist organization Hamas. And yet somehow our government is taking the position that, these are two sides, we have to work it out between them, and implying that Israel is at least partially at fault when they're not. We should be standing with them 100%.
Can't argue. It is hard to believe how backwards we've gone in a couple of months since Donald Trump has left office and these folks have taken over. Let's talk to you about Liz Cheney. Big day for Liz Cheney today up in D.C. Obviously, you know what's going on there. What do you think about that whole saga, Liz Cheney?
Yeah, I partially disagree with you guys. I mean, Liz Cheney, I think the fact that she is so critical of the president and she's in leadership really raises issues. I had a very good relationship with her, working with her, but I also like Elise Stefanik. So I'm not trying to split the difference here. They're really, I think, two very able people. And Liz Cheney has decided, I think, she wants to take this fight against the president. And because of that, McCarthy felt he had to move. My concern is that this is going to be considered a victory for President Trump within the Republican Party, but it's going to show the rest of the country that, that we're a divided party. I wish they could have resolved it another way. But yeah, I wish Elise Stefanik the best. I've been a good supporter and friend of hers, Liz Cheney. And I know you guys aren't crazy about her. She's very good to work with, very reliable. And she was one of the first members in Congress to come out for the 9/11 compensation funds 2 years ago when this was still a big issue.
Well, Peter King, I used to have a lot of respect for her. She's a brilliant lady, but she's become a useful idiot for the left. She's all over CNN and NBC and all of these stations. So, I mean, that indicates that she's harming the Republican Party if they're championing her, I think.
Yeah, no, it does. And that happens, by the way. When I voted against Bill Clinton's impeachment for about 4 weeks, I was the hero of CNN. Thank God for myself, I saw through that. I mean, they turned on you in a second. I mean,
right.
A few years later, when I was doing the hearings on Muslim infiltration, I was like Adolf Hitler. So to CNN and MSNBC and them. Right. No, you have to avoid being used by them. talk about the fake media. That's what personifies it.
And by the way, yes, her dad was the most hated man by the fake news before Donald Trump came along. Her dad was, and by extension, her as well.
Yeah, that's why you really have to try to avoid being used by these people, because they will use you and drop you. I mean, if you listen now to CNN, Liz Cheney is the greatest person that ever came along, and you're right. If you even mention the name Cheney on CNN, they probably would have banned you and they would have canceled you.
By the way, Dick wasn't – a lot of Republicans were not happy with Dick Cheney either. Just wasn't just that side of the aisle. But Liz Cheney has suddenly become a hero of those folks today. There's no question. Congressman Peter King here with Bernie and Sid on this big Wednesday morning. So the mayor race is heating up here in the city. We had Curtis Sliwa in studio, Peter, 2 days ago. Eric Adams is set to join us in studio coming up on Wednesday. Both Adams and Yang came out yesterday in support of Israel. Good for those guys. The New York Times has endorsed Catherine Garcia. Peter King, any comments, any thoughts on the mayor race?
Yeah, first, I am actually speaking at a fundraiser for Curtis this Friday night. Massive.
Yeah,
people.
All right.
He's coming out to Long Island. It's going to be a good fundraiser.
The Busy Bee Flea Market and the Baldwin Brothers.
So he's going to Curtis is a good guy. He's a good friend. And I certainly support him in the Republican primary. I would hope he wins in November. Obviously, you know, it's a Democratic city, but anything can happen. On the Democratic side, I think probably Eric Adams is the best of a bad lot. And the reason I say that, I've even spoken with some pretty hardcore cops who have gone at it publicly with Eric Adams in the past. But they say that they feel that behind, behind doors, you can work with them, you can negotiate with them, and that basically he has a lot of common sense. So, he was close to Farrakhan at one time. He's, I think, goes too far in his criticism of the police. Having said that, crime is the big issue. And he's the only one right now making any sense at all. And people that I know and respect feel, even though they've had public differences with Eric Adams, he is the type of guy that you can deal with, and he does have the best interest of the city at heart.
So speaking of, politicians who are horrible, Joe Biden, Trump said it during the transition that Sleepy Joe was out of gas. Or he said it early on in his administration, and literally and figuratively, that turned out to be true. So now everybody's comparing Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. We have the Mideast turmoil that we talked about, expensive gas, inflation, rising crime, all this stuff, racial tension, which albeit started before this administration, but began really under the Obama administration. What are your thoughts on Joe Biden?
Yeah, unfortunately, the similarities to Jimmy Carter are real. Also, one other thing that he has in common with Carter, and it's talking down America. I mean, Carter was basically, U.S. has to realize he was no longer, the only major power in the world. All that talk coming from Carter, and he was talking about this inordinate fear of communism, all that nonsense, which turned out to be totally untrue. But it created a defeatist attitude in the United States. And that's what Biden, like, when he gave his State of the Union speech or the address to Congress, and he said that the knee on the neck of George Floyd, that was the American criminal justice system. That, to me, was such a horrific, diabolical lie against the United States. So, yeah, he's downing America. And as far as this thing with the gas crisis, we still don't know all that happens. The fact is, if it comes from Russia, whether or not the Russian government is involved, they seem to be looking the other way, allowing this to go on. The message has to be loud and clear. We're not going to tolerate this any longer. And I was just talking to my daughter, who now is down in North Carolina. She said she drove by 10 gas stations this morning. Every one of them
out of gas.
Sold out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, out of gas. It shows how vulnerable we are on this. And one of the only ways to really prevent this is, we can have all the technology in the world. Somebody can always find a way around it. We have to get the best technology and hope for the best. But the other is to let people know there's going to be real consequences for this. And the Russian government has to be put on notice that if it's coming out of Russia, it's up to them to find out how and why and stop it. No excuses.
Newt Gingrich actually went as far as saying we should probably all kill these people.
We should stop worrying about employing transgender, cisgender, anxiety-disordered people in the CIA and focus on stopping cyber attacks.
Like stuff like that. Hey, 60 seconds to go on a much lighter note, Peter.
Yeah.
Of the three local hockey teams, only one made the playoffs. You know this team pretty well. A little sad that as the Islanders get set to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, this is the end of hockey at Nassau Coliseum?
Yeah, it really is, and not that I'm trying to inject myself into this, but if you look at the original lease between the Islanders and the Nassau Coliseum, My name is one of the those down at the bottom of the list.
Now, was that before or after they won those four Stanley Cups?
That was before. It was 1972.
Wow.
I was a young lawyer in the Nassau County Attorney's Office, and I was assigned to work on the negotiations with the Islanders and the Coliseum. And I remember at the time, the owner of the Islanders, who was Roy Bowe, also owned the Nets. And his dream was that sometime the Islanders would be as popular as the Nets. Well, a few years later, the Nets were gone, and the Islanders went on to win the four straight Stanley Cups. And those guys, by the way, those players are great guys. They say Bobby Nystrom is still on Long Island. Yep. Others, they were really class act. Brian Trottier, Clark Gillies, these were really top-notch guys. And, of course, Billy Smith, who was the nastiest guy in hockey. He's a great guy. Yeah. He sort of reminds me of Bernie, you know. He's,
little
always, he's always taking shots.
Yes, a little bit.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, all Hall of Famers, that whole team. I mean, even guys that did make the Hall of Fame.
Team.
Yeah, the whole team.
And then Al Lava, what a coach he was. Quiet, silent.
Great coach. And, of course, Bill Torrey, who just was with me down in Florida with the Panthers not that long ago, he passed away. He was a great architect, too. You're a Hall of Famer, Peter. Another great appearance. We love when you come on. Thank you so much. For hopping
you guys are great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Long live the king.
Long live Congressman Peter King here on Bernie and Sid. Folks, go to WABCRadio.com right now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, if you don't know, is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck.
And walk with me all summer long.
All summer long,
sang a song.
We sang a
and
song,
then we strolled,
and then we strolled
that golden sand.
That golden sand,
two sweethearts.
Tell him, Frankie.
Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
That's right, folks. Check out our good buddy Joe Piscopo. Wrap it up, Ramsey Mazda, Sundays with Sinatra. Now 3 hours every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Joe Piscopo plays the best Sinatra songs combined with great stories and insight. The chairman of the board. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra featuring our friend Joe Piscopo. You know, Barman's trying to cause some trouble with me and Piscopo. And this piece I did for Barrett Media. But I didn't, well, I guess I did go there. Time for news at Deb Valentine. Hi, this is Pavarotti. We're just looking for great Italians. Oh, what a great song this is. You know, we've been on fire today. I've gotten so many nice texts. Peter King, Margot Katz-Matidis, a host of others. Show's on fire today. I promised you that at 6:30 when we started the show. That it was going to be that type of program, and it has been. But coming up in about 2 hours, Columbus Circle, the fight for Columbus Day, which I'm supposed to be a part of, but it turns out Leslie Slender, our lovely sales girl, has a Zoom sales meeting for me at 10:30.
What?
Yes. So she clearly hates the Italians.
This is very weak.
Very weak. What am I going to do?
On your part.
It's a rehab. They want to spend a lot of money on our show. What am I going to do? What's more important, the Italians or money on this show?
Come on, man. We can't give up on Columbus that easily.
Well, I'm going to be late. So Arthur Idologist texted me and said, you should come. It'll be a good. And everybody loves you and Bernie and blah, blah, blah.
It's on your way home, too. I mean, you got no excuse.
That's exactly what he said. It's on your way home,
right.
Too.
I mean, and plus you've been advertising the fact that you're going to be there.
Right.
And here it is. Now it's 2 hours away. I got a meeting with what am I going to do over here?
What am I going to do? Glenn Touch.
I got 40 ventilators. Who's going to live with that? You decide, not me.
Ventilators.
Last I checked, Andrew Cuomo, the guy you're mimicking there, really is Italian. I'm Jewish, and I'm going to be there. He's not. But I will be there. I'm a little late. That's it. Leslie Slender.
I'm very disappointed.
They pull me in like 90 different directions. What am I supposed to do?
I'm there
for the Italians. I'm there for the Jews. I'm there for the rehabs. What else can I possibly do? What else?
You just have them reschedule.
And I'm going to the Met game today.
Well, do it earlier.
What time?
I don't care. Just figure it out. Leave me out of it, all right? You don't want to.
You got to drive me there.
You're the guy breaking a promise.
You got to drive.
It's not my problem.
No, I'm coming. I'm going to be a little.
I'm not going to go now.
No, I'm going
to be late.
Listen, let Joe Frata speak. Let Bo Dietl speak. Let Curtis Sliwa speak. Let Joe Tacopina speak. Let Arthur Idala speak. By the time they're all done, the greatest Italian of all, Dave Busco, will speak at about 11:30. Dave Busco's not a real person, of course. He's the guy that
I
play
you.
On.
Oh, that's you on Gravesend. That's right. That is correct.
That's my Italian alter ego.
There'll be strength in numbers, too. Nobody's going to get assaulted.
Oh, no.
Did you hear about this 2-year-old kid on the streets of Manhattan here yesterday? He was assaulted by this 30-year-old guy.
What?
Has a rap sheet, includes 69 arrests. 69 arrests. 69 arrests. Now he's, they busted him for slapping a suitcase in the face of a 2-year-old yesterday. I don't know. This guy needs to be, you can't have 69 arrests be let out on the street. I mean, I'm including violent felonies. This guy needs to be put out of his misery is what he needs.
Public lewdness, I know, is another one.
Yeah.
Menacing, other stuff. Yeah, it's just terrible. I saw that story last night.
As Dermot Shea has said in the past, it's the same people committing the same crimes over and over and over again because of the leniency, the no cash bail law, all that stuff. By the way, yesterday the city council was actually yelling at Dermot Shea for spending more money on police overtime than was actually allotted to him. I wonder why he was spending money on police overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Chauvin verdict was coming down. You had to get the cops, mobilized in case it didn't go their way.
Right.
And he's getting yelled at. It's unbelievable.
I think Dermot Shea is coming on this show next week.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Well, that's
either
good.
Him or Rodney Harrison working on both of those guys. So we'll see what happens.
And, of course, we talked about the mayoral race with Peter King.
Yeah.
And a funny little story, you had the New York Times, who endorsed Catherine Garcia, as you pointed out. They also asked each mayoral candidate, what do you think the median price of a home or apartment in Brooklyn is?
This is so embarrassing.
And it is $900,000. And one of the guys running for mayor is some wormy little woke weasel named Sean Donovan, who used to work for Obama's HUD secretary, Housing and Urban Development. He said, it's about $100,000, right? No, it's $900,000. Ray McGuire, this big-time CityCorp exec that's been endorsed by Jay-Z, he goes, what is it, about $80,000 to $90,000 a house, a home?
I mean, not even close.
Right, $900,000. Eric Adams, former borough president, he was closer, $500,000.
That's fine.
Andrew Yang nailed it.
Nailed it.
$900,000. The racist lady who's running for mayor, this Maya Wiley, she goes $1.7 million. So, in other words, these people don't know their own city.
Well, Andrew Yang does. He nailed it.
Well, yeah, he did. I'll give him that.
And Eric Adams was in. Well,
you're on the Yang. You're in the Yang gang now.
I am all about
supporting
Yang.
Israel.
But
right?
He's mad at me though, and you. So
right.
Well, but we can fix that.
He shouldn't be. He really shouldn't be.
No.
And speaking of you, Brooklyn, you're all about Brooklyn. Front page of the New York Post, and this is a story, an ongoing story. 64% of Brooklyn businesses having trouble hiring because of Bidenomics.
I told you this anecdotally. I've got a friend who owns two friends who own restaurants. They can't find people to work. They're making too much money to stay home.
This is from the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce. And you remember Joe Biden said, well, no, there's nothing measurable here. No, the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce came out. And it's all over the country. It's nationwide. It's not anecdotal at this point whatsoever. Are you struggling to hire workers? 64% of businesses in Brooklyn said yes. Are enhanced COVID jobless benefits hindering your hiring?
Of course.
42% said yes.
Only 42%?
42%. Well, that's a big number. That's almost, I mean, that's a huge number.
Should be bigger, but okay.
So anyway, a lot of states, a lot of Republican states, red states, of course, are turning down the money. Bill de Blasio, this money is just, this is what's causing inflation. The devaluation of the dollar is caused by spending money you don't have, by printing money, as we talked about ad nauseum with Bill O'Reilly, everybody else. And this is what's happening. This is why you have inflation, that and gas shortages. But in any case, red state governors are actually saying, we don't want your money.
Smart.
We want these businesses to hire we don't want these people sitting on the couch.
That's right.
We want them to work. The governor of South Carolina, he actually said this, listen.
We're not going to take that unemployment money to pay people for not working. We got help wanted signs up everywhere. We get calls and letters and texts from people from all sorts of businesses all across the state. They're looking for people to work, and the people just won't come to work because they're getting as much money or more in some cases by staying home. It's a counterproductive policy, and I'm afraid what the Biden administration is doing is they are telling everybody that the virus is still rampant and we're still in great danger. So everybody's got to stay home. Well, that's just not true. We're wide open in South Carolina. We never did shut down, and we have a very low unemployment rate. But we got people that are businesses that are looking for people actively every day and can't find them because they're at home drawing this pay. And here comes more. There's no telling where this is going. And it puts us right on the road, I hate to say it, to socialism. And we got to stand up and fight against this.
Who is this guy?
Who is that guy?
His name is Governor Henry McMaster of South Carolina.
Right. All my favorite politicians, Lindsey Graham, Nikki Haley, they all re-up from South Carolina.
Senator Kennedy. Oh, I thought you were going to say from the South.
Well, he's in Louisiana. But, yeah, they're all from the South. But specifically, South Carolina does a good job.
You got to love these people. These are red-blooded Americans. Yeah. We don't sit on the couch and suck our thumb and wait for the government to give us money.
We do here.
I know we do. And we took the money. And there's a story in the New York Post. De Blasio is spending money like a drunken sailor. This city got $7 billion.
Where is it?
From the Joe Biden. Well, De Blasio has it.
He has it?
He's spending $37 million to hire... $234 million for a cleanup corps. $234 of our taxpayer dollars, that money we don't really have,
right,
for a cleanup corps. That's called a sanitation department. Right. We already have that.
Yes.
So it's just a big, complete and total waste of money.
De Blasio can help out this city a tremendous amount if he takes that $1 billion that him and his wife stole, takes it out of their account somewhere overseas, and puts it back into the city.
He doesn't need it. We got it from Biden. We got $7 billion from Joe
Biden. That's true. Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
I mean, just get, you know, lock up these thugs that are smacking around 2-year-olds, pushing people on subways, beating up Asians. Lock them up, euthanize them, and reopen this damn joint. I'm sorry. Enough is enough.
I agree. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got the Chris Libertini well-produced WABC cut of the day. Hey, did Greg Kelly use our cut yesterday?
I'm going to find out. I told his producer, Ryan, to make sure he got what we said.
By the way, today is the last day, and if John gets mad at me or Chad or Dave, it is what it is. Today is the last day I'm mentioning Greg Kelly on this show. Bernie can mention him for the rest of the way. I'm not mentioning him anymore.
Greg Kelly.
There you go. You can do it all day.
No, listen.
I'm done mentioning him. He's not going to big time me. I don't care what
the station
is.
I am going to respond accordingly to how he handled our clip yesterday.
Oh, you heard it?
If he banned it, then we got a war.
We got a war.
Yeah, if he banned our clip, because we play his clips.
Yeah, we do. A lot.
So, I mean, it's got to be a two-way street.
Beat Bernie's coming up at 9:40 and sports at 35. Don't F with us today. Today's not the day to F with Bernie and Sid, folks. Trust me. We're like the Israelis. We're coming to get you.
Push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
On your drive home today at 4 o'clock, it's Lydia Serrani. Then at 5, it's our guy, love him, John Katsimatidis. Got the information you need from the newsmakers themselves. Back tomorrow, Donald Trump with Rita Cosby and John Katsimatidis coming up at 5. He covers it all, has the pulse on the big stories, John Katsimatidis. Get the truth today at 5 with Cats at Night here on 77 WBC. Now, is Labrosi here yet, the program director?
We're tracking him down.
All right. By the way, there's a big ad in the New York Post this morning.
Yeah.
For a Saturday lineup, Bo Snerdly at 8 to 10, Larry Kudlow 10 to 1, Sidney Adams on Sundays 1 to 2, Dick Morris every Sunday 12 to 1. And the weekend lineup.
Sinatra, Cousin Brucey, and Tony
Piscopo,
Orlando.
Brucey, Tony Orlando, yeah.
Every Wednesday, you know this already, but every Wednesday we've got a color ad in the New York Post.
Beautiful.
John does a really good job of that. I did read John's promo. I was supposed to read Greg Kelly's, but I decided not to. I read John's instead. So there is a rumor that we used Greg Kelly's clip as the clip of the day. That was not a rumor. We actually played Greg Kelly's clip on this show about 4 times yesterday. And then we decided in the post-show meeting, not even us, management, that Kelly would use our clip as his clip of the day.
Because he can't use his, yes.
Right. And I guess he listened to the clip and he didn't like it.
He's mad at me.
Well, because we
Bernie.
The context is, of course, his clip ran, and he was attacking the cops, or
right.
he was criticizing the cops.
Yes, he was.
For not getting out of the car, for not being more proactive.
Right.
In the face of all these changed rules that they have to suffer through, that handcuff them, essentially, that may cost them their pension, their homes,
yes.
Et cetera, if they do what they're trained to do, what they were trained to do initially.
So he's like, quit then. If you can't do the job, which is stupid, he should know better. His father was chief of police. I'm sure his father, Ray, I would hope at least Ray, is sympathizing with the cops. So Bernie and I took him to task, and then Mr. Iraq War veteran, Mr. Tough Guy, he decided not to use our clip. And then, according to other people at the station, Will Longan, we don't know if this is true or not, he pouted all day. He was in a bad mood all day because of me and Bernie. So,
can we have honest disagreements?
No. But now, you have to understand.
Without having a tantrum?
No,
I guess
not.
You disagree with me. Curtis used to do this to us all the time.
Right, we never got mad.
No.
Never. You and I disagree often. We never get mad. Anyway, this is, I know you folks out there, management hates this stuff. Hey, want everybody to get along. I can't tell you how many times I had meetings with Chernoff at the old place. Get along with this guy. But you guys out there love this stuff. You love the fighting, the infighting. So we are officially fighting with Greg Kelly, and we will be doing that until Kelly apologizes to me and Bernie, or management tells us we have no choice.
Well, that's the bottom line. But we back the blue, and the blue can't do their jobs without risking their jobs.
It was even before this, though. There was something going on with him ever since my appearance on his show.
Between you and him.
It's weird.
Well. Hey, listen, I talked to...
So what? I did Star Wars. What does that mean?
Wait,
Greg Kelly is so clean and perfect and pure that he's gonna hold a grudge against... He's going to judge me? Greg Kelly's going to judge me? Are you kidding me? Please, give me a break.
So Matt talked into Sid's ear and spurred that thing with the steroid thing.
Yeah.
Farrakhan Muhammad is still on the loose, by the way.
How is that possible?
He's still on, and another guy with a lengthy rap sheet. Farrakhan, yeah, how is that possible? The guy who shot up people in Times Square, I think it was a 4-year-old girl, a couple of tourists. I mean, and he was in a fight with his bro. Farrakhan Muhammad, and these police, I mean, they have their hands full. They don't need to be criticized at this point. I don't think, anyway. Also, Chrissy Teigen, you were talking about her earlier.
Well, no, I actually gave Matt last night the Candace Owens Instagram.
Let's go.
Talking about her.
Let's do this.
You want to do this?
I mean, time is tight. So what happened? She said to a girl on Instagram, I hope you die or take a dirt nap or something like that.
Yeah, a young girl.
A 16-year-old girl.
Yes. And right. Candace Owens, thank God for Candace Owens. She always seems to come to the defense of what is right. And Candace, on her Instagram, went nuts on John Legend's wife, Chrissy Teigen. Here's what it sounded like.
Chrissy Teigen, who is, in my opinion, one of the most deranged people on the web, okay? And I don't know why the media, because she's, you know, married to John Legend, has tried to make it seem like, oh my God, her mental derangement is funny, it's cute, it's like, oh, she's just saying what she wants to say. Like, she should have been canceled a very long time ago by canceling standards, right? The idea that she has sponsorships and is making money from these corporations that claim to be woke and to care about all of these different groups of people and to care about mental health and awareness, allowing her to be a spokesperson for any of their products is ridiculous, right? She has said disgusting things to me in the past, disgusting things to other black conservatives, has harassed Trump supporters for 4 years, and yet somehow claims that Trump in of himself is the person that she needs to fight.
Nicely said. Hey, sometimes described Chrissy Teigen as a supermodel. I mean, you could...
I don't see that.
You quote me as, some cosmopolitan centerfold in that case. I mean, give me a break.
I don't see that.
Not even close. Not even close. No, she's a racist. She's hateful, and apparently she's encouraging 16-year-olds to commit suicide.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's a little crazy,
That may
right?
be the biggest racist couple in America, her and John Legend, because they're both really big, gas-bag, loudmouth racists. That may be the biggest racist couple in America.
Probably.
Because you don't know about LeBron James' wife.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. Right. And they get away with it. I mean, the media just treats them like they're gods.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, of course, went back to football, Jacksonville Jaguars. He has a connection to the coach, which is why he's back on the Jaguars. And maybe it's a stunt, maybe it's a publicity stunt, but yeah. It triggered people out there in the sports world. People are saying, white privilege, why isn't Colin Kaepernick back?
He's not going, first of all, he's not playing quarterback. He's going to play tight end. Second of all, like you said, Urban Meyer got his first coaching job ever in the NFL this year with the Jaguars. Him and Urban won a national championship together when he won the Heisman in Florida for the Gators. So that is that natural relationship. And then they drafted a quarterback number one overall out of Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, and he needs a guy that can help him along. Tim Tebow is perfect. So the Tebow-Kaepernick comparison is absolutely, once again, idiotic.
But not only that, as I recall, Tim Tebow did not wear socks that depicted cops as pigs.
No, I don't remember.
I mean,
that.
I think that's part of the problem with the Colin Kaepernick.
I don't know
if these people realize that or if they're you know, willfully ignorant. Or
I remember when the thing first got legs and broke, and you and I were early in our relationship. I'd watch guys like Mike Lupica and Roland Martin on MSNBC defending Colin Kaepernick, and they never, ever, ever brought up the pigs depicted as cops on the socks.
No, of course not. And as you and I discussed early in the show yesterday, Tim Tebow used to get savaged by the pop culture, the late night talk shows. I remember being on the Ima show. They were killing him, poor guy, because he claimed to be a virgin, a good looking guy.
Yep.
He was just slaughtered for it. They would never, ever, ever do that to a Muslim who was practicing, a devout Muslim who's practicing his religion, or for that matter, a devout Jew. They would never do that.
No.
But Christian, it was on the table. It was okay. They didn't do it to Russell Wilson, who was of the same mindset.
Right.
I'm going to stay a virgin until I get married. They didn't do it to Russell Wilson. I wonder what the difference is.
Yeah.
It's very strange. But either way, Tim Tebow is back, and everybody on the left is triggered.
All right. 1-800-848-WABC. That's the number as always. 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to take on the man you just heard, the smartest man in New York, my partner, my buddy Bernard McGurk, is coming up next. What's at stake, as always, a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Pete Morgan and Peerless Bernie Borders, I should say. Beat Bernie is coming up next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Bernie, you look good, bro. You look good. You look good. Bernie McGurk, he exits the studio. And we'll meet today's contestant out of Park Ridge, New Jersey. His name is Chris, retired high school teacher. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you. Now, where's Park Ridge exactly? Next to what town that I may have heard of?
It's by Montvale, about 2 miles south of Pearl River, New York.
Of course. Oh, so you're by, like, Montvale.
Yeah, next door.
Ah, sure. Because you're right there by Spring Valley and Pearl River. Very nice area.
You got it.
Ah, there you go. All right, Chris, welcome to today's game. And here's your first question. In May of 1607, Captain John Smith arrived at the Virginia site where he would help establish what settlement?
Jamestown.
You're the man. You're the man. Did you teach history, by the way, in high school? What was your course of study?
Yes, I did.
Look at you. In the 1980s, presidential candidates courted working-class voters who were called what term that combined a president and his opposing party?
Reagan Democrat.
Oh, you are too good. In 1899, the Senate ratified the Treaty of Paris, ending what war?
The Spanish-American War.
Chris is no joke, though. Are you handsome, too, or not really?
Yeah, I am.
Son of a gun. Look at this guy. He's smart. He's handsome. He lives by Montvale. He's got the world by the balls. And he's going to win today. Here's number four.
And a beautiful wife.
And a beautiful wife. Look at this guy.
Smart man.
My man. Who is the anchor of a... Is she listening right now?
Yes, she is.
Oh, you're so in tonight. Who is the anchor...
Yeah, he's listening.
...of a CNN show, which is sometimes shortened and referred to as AC360?
Oh, Anderson Cooper.
Oh, my God. What nickname is shared by the 1st United States Volunteer Cavalry of the Spanish-American War and the rapper DMX's record label?
I should know this. My grandfather was in the Spanish-American War. Eesh. Can you say it again?
No. The answer is Rough Riders.
Brilliant,
you were brilliant. Four right. You did really well, Chris. Really well. And I don't think Bernie's going to beat you today. I really don't. So let's see what Bernie does. I don't know. I think you're going to win. Hold on. Let's get... Oh, by the way, where you live, I've been told here, by my buddy Mike Sullivan, Mr. Brennan and Carr, best roast beef in the country in Brooklyn. He says that Park Ridge is where James Gandolfini is from.
Absolutely. We have James Gandolfini Way, and he went to Park Ridge High School.
How about that? And then he went to Rutgers, of course. So there you go. You're right, Mike Sullivan.
And then he was on The Sopranos.
Yes, he was.
Heard about that, right?
God rest his soul. All right, you got to get all five to beat this guy. This guy's smart and a good guy, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
In May of 1607, Captain John Smith arrived at the Virginia site where he would help establish what settlement?
Virginia.
1607.
Yeah. I'd say Jamestown.
You're right. In the 1980s, presidential candidates courted working class voters who were called what term that combined a president and his opposing party?
A president, who courted them?
In the 1980s, presidential candidates courted working class workers who were called what term? It combined a president and his opposing party. You got this right, Chris.
I believe you're going for Blue Dog Democrats, but it combined a president.
Yeah. You didn't answer.
Yeah.
Blue Dog Democrats?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax. Should be Jesus.
Well, look Reagan up, Democrats.
Look up Blue Dog Democrats, and you'll see it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but he said combined a president and his opposing party.
Yeah, but,
the president has to be Reagan, not Blue Dogs.
Let me just... respectfully say that Blue Dog Democrats was the much more used phrase than Reagan Democrats.
Nice to go. So now you have to get all three right just to tie, okay?
Reagan was a Democrat.
And he'll keep going. He's just a complete psycho.
Like in the 50s. Did you give this guy any hints?
I can see him walking up on stage and beating up Sajak.
Just look up Blue Dog. Anybody listening to me that knows
his... But Chris got this right away. I don't understand.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. And... God, you are funny. In 1899, Bernie, the Senate ratified the Treaty of Paris. Ending what war?
That would be the Spanish-American War.
Who was the anchor of a CNN show which is sometimes shortened and referred to as AC360?
That would be Andy.
That's
Andy
right. Cooper. Finally. Now you get this right, you tie, even though it's under protest again, or you lose if you don't get it right.
I'm not going to protest. Right, I'm just going to point out that Blue Dog Democrats is much more common phrase than Reagan Democrats.
Which is probably true. Probably true. He did not get this one right, this guy. Okay, here's what he got wrong. What nickname is shared by the 1st United States Volunteer Cavalry of the Spanish-American War and was also the name of late rapper DMX's record label? Share the same name.
It's got to be Dog Pound.
Wrong, you two-legged back of
not a horrible guess. The answer, though, Rough Riders.
Rough Riders. Yeah. I should have known that.
4-3, the final score. Chris gets $100 and a coffee mug, and his wife is listening, and she's good-looking, according to Chris. What a day for you, Chris.
All right.
Hey, Chris, congratulations. Good job, man. Very good
Thank
job.
Thank you.
You're a student of history, clearly.
Thanks, guys. Oh, well, yeah, I was a retired history teacher.
Oh, retired history teacher. So, do you ever see...
I've been to Bavaria.
I'm sorry, where?
I taught in Nanuet High School and St. Raymond's High School in the Bronx.
Well,
two schools.
Good for you. Listen, you ever see de Blasio out there in the gym in Park Slope?
Park Ridge. I'm in Jersey.
Oh, Park
away
Ridge.
From him
Park
as I
Slope's
can get.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. That's why you don't see him. Yeah, that explains it.
Hey, listen, great job today, Chris. Congratulations. You were a fine player. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful Wednesday and keep listening.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Been a great show. We're not done yet. We'll close it out on the phones. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
So what day is today? Like every day is a different day in this country. One day is Siblings Day. The next day is like, last week it was like a pancake day, I think. And I didn't even go down to the diner around the corner. That's a pretty good diner there by Empire Steakhouse. Let me ask you this, Meanie, if you've got the choice And they're both free, so money is not an issue. Although it should be an issue for these breakfast items anyway. But if I offered you free pancakes or free French toast today, what would you take?
Pancakes, 100%.
100%?
100%.
Regular pancakes, you like chocolate chip pancakes?
Oh, chocolate chip pancakes, but if I go regular, give me some strawberries on top of that bad boy, those bad boys. Oof.
Okay.
I'll be just, yes, glorious. Pancakes all day.
All right. You want, John?
I made pancakes.
Pancakes and French toast.
1,000% pancakes.
Really? I'm not even going to ask Bernie. He's a pancake guy because he's Irish. I don't know what that means. What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I would go with...
pancakes.
I go with cereal.
No, but I didn't.
No, listen, I go with pancakes.
See,
of course.
I'm the only guy because I like challah bread. Challah!
Oh, wait.
And I like a nice challah French toast.
French toast is very, very good.
Oh.
French toast, I make a mean French toast. I can tell you that right now.
There's no way you do that.
I do.
That's a lie.
That's the one thing. It's the one thing I made for my kids over the years.
You lied once on this show, and you got your beautiful daughter to lie for you when you told us you ice skated like Brian Boitano.
It's the truth, and I do ice skate. Not like Brian Boitano, but I can bust a move on the ice. Hey, listen, I have to mention this.
Go ahead.
Our friend Luke Pettigrew.
Yes.
He was a good guy, former New York Giant,
yes.
Traveled all the way down to Southern Delaware to attend the funeral of a police officer slain. Delmar, Delaware, by as he put it, slain by a crackhead zombie. And no mention from Joe Biden whatsoever, who is from Delaware as well. No shout out to the officer. No media attention for the officer. And you know who has a house next to Joe Biden, near Joe Biden as well? Tucker Carlson.
Oh.
And he never made mention of this slain officer yet. So,
but he was doing something. Oh, man.
So I just want to mention, Luke went to the funeral, and he's a little upset that these guys, and I am as well, that especially Joe Biden hasn't mentioned it.
Yeah, but he's upset. I mean, it was predictable. There was no way Joe Biden was going to mention that. That's why I don't get upset. If I know that there's no way it could happen, it doesn't upset me. Well, it's disgusting.
He's lunch pail Joe, Mr. Delaware. Yeah, it's all about Delaware. Yeah.
No, you know who's lunch pail Joe?
By the way,
Luke.
He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, really.
Oh, so he's not from Delaware?
No, he moved there when he was a kid or something.
Oh, okay. Well, Luke is from there. Luke Pettigrew. Right? He's from Delaware.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. But he traveled all the way down from here where he lives.
I know.
To attend that funeral, which was nice.
He's got hairy legs.
The great number 77. I love Luke. I've been very, very friendly with Luke since we moved here to this Third Avenue location. But Luke will tell you that many, many years ago, back in the year 2000, when he was still on the Giants, and the Giants were playing the Eagles, I think, and they had some big event in New Jersey, in New York. I was there. Luke was there. We became friendly that day, and we've kept this friendship up now for 21 years. I even put Luke in contact with Paul Schwartz, writing a Giants story a couple of weeks ago.
He's a good guy. Good guy. Yeah. Everybody has had problems in their lives, you and I in particular, so nobody should judge. Take it easy. Listen, let me give you an example of my Twitter feed real quick. It's very topical and good. Some guy named Tim Young, when you're waiting in line for $5 gas, just remember, no mean tweets.
That's what he said?
At Real Tina 40. Tina 40. Biden is destroying America. Ben Shapiro. The media's focus on the GOP House number 3 is demonstrative of their desperation to keep focusing on Trump rather than paying attention to Biden's first 4 months of epic failure. It's not going to work. And then Ben Shapiro has a great tweet about Israel. One side fires over 1,000 rockets into civilian areas, hoping to kill anyone, including Israeli Arabs. The other side delivers phone calls and knock bombs, in other words, warnings, to evacuate civilians before destroying Hamas-occupied buildings, and most of the West pretends moral equivalence.
There you go. Okay.
Ben Shapiro nailing it.
He's good. Ben's good. Mine is like Michael Rappaport, Dolores Catania, Andy Cohen, and Jacob deGrom. Scrambled or over easy? Meaning?
Scrambled, and I'll tell you this. Today is National Porridge Day.
Porridge?
Yes, and Nutty Fudge Day.
What is the...
It's just so stupid.
I mean, so every day is a different day.
Of course it is. I mean, it's like... We talked about
porridge. What was the porridge story? Was that the Three Bears or something?
Yeah. Mama Bear, Papa Bear.
It's like the Goldilocks.
The porridge was too hot. It was too cold.
They make these lists for people like Kelly Ripa and the... what's that guy's name?
Yes, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, to do stuff like that. I mean,
You don't like that?
It's idiotic.
Well, you would like this. What if today was like National Beer Day?
Well, you know what it is?
Well, National Potato Day.
This is National Nurses Day, National Nurses Month. Uh-oh. And it's time to vote for, it's still time to vote for the National Nurses Day finalists here at WABCRadio.com. Vote for who you think should win the trip to Florida.
I love this.
It is our way of thanking nurses for their hard work, dedication, and sacrifices. That's right, WABCRadio.com. Go vote, folks.
I like it.
For who you want to send to Florida, the best nurse out there. And too bad we couldn't send them all.
That's true. They all deserve to go. My friend Billy checks in from the Mirage Diner in Brooklyn right there by, it's King's Highway, but I forget exactly where it is. By Ocean Parkway, I guess. And it's a Greek diner. It's one of the best Greek diners in Brooklyn, all of New York. It's Mirage Diner, my buddy Billy. And he's going to have Curtis Sliwa there, I believe, someday next week. I may host it. So we'll keep you updated on that one. Perfect, right? Me at a Greek diner with Curtis Sliwa, my friend Billy?
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Yeah?
Come on. That's if you don't have some sales meeting scheduled at the last minute.
I'll be
like, I can't make it.
Or he sells the diner.
Oh, the building is raised.
He ain't selling that diner, baby. No, I'll be there today. Bo Dietl already yelled at me. He's like, I'm only going because you've been talking about it all week, so you better be here. So as soon as Leslie is done, I'll be on Columbus Circle. Fill you all in tomorrow. It's a gorgeous day today. Enjoy your Wednesday. Don't forget. Later on tonight, the last episode of New Jersey. And then Bernie and I are back tomorrow morning at 6:30. Have yourselves a great day from all of us on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. To all of you, until then, peace!